member that came out this evening. We thank you for the safe traveling mercies. We thank you, Lord, just for the simple blessings. We thank you for the strength to get out of bed this morning, put our feet in the floor, and get through this day. It may have been a struggle for some, and it may not have been not so much of a struggle for others, but nonetheless, you guide and direct, watched over us each and every step of the way, everything that was said and done. As the song said, name above all names, there is no other name. We thank you for that as well. We thank you for sending your son to die on that cross for each and every one of us. Souls to be saved outside these walls, around the world. I pray you give us continued guidance and strength to spread your word and the gospel to each and every person out there. Doesn't matter if it's in our own backyard, in our own country, in our own town, around the world, where it may be with missionaries as well. Pray for Pastor and his wife. I pray for safety there, wisdom and direction, guidance, a good time of fellowship. I bring them back safely to take traveling mercies as well. I thank you for the message, the lesson you took me through this evening. Earlier on this week and before, I pray you'd your will be done there, your message be spoken. Your will be done, everything is said. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you. Tonight, we're going to be going over a lesson I titled Defeating the Enemy. We're going to be moving from passage to passage, but defeating the enemy is what the title is. It said the question would be, how can I defeat this enemy? I guess we'd start off with a question. I said, did Satan ever gain victory over Christ at any time? Absolutely not. So next question, logical question would be, if we are in Christ, can Satan gain victory over us ever? Absolutely not. Once again, the same answer. The only variable in this equation is for us to remain steadfast in our obedience to Christ and His Spirit, never giving the devil an opportunity or a foothold to take and move forward. As you see in Ephesians 4:27, it says, neither give place to the devil. Excuse me. There are two different examples of being in Christ. One would be considered positional. We are in Christ by virtue of dying and being resurrected with Him to new life. If you would, turn to Romans chapter 6 with me. We're going to go through verses 1 through 14, if you would. That's where we're going to start off this evening. Romans chapter 6, yes. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death. And like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. As I was saying before, the first, there are two different examples of being in Christ. Like I said, one would be positional. As we said, we just read through the scripture here, said we are in Christ by virtue of dying and being resurrected with him to new life. That is the part God did. We couldn't do it. Never in a million years could we ever done it. He had to do it. He had to send his son to die on that cross for each and every one of us. Never. That position frees us from a life of slavery to sin and temptation. Now, the second point would be, in a practical sense, we are to put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. That's from Romans chapter 13, verse 14. This is the part we must do as human, as Christians. We can do this best by putting on the spiritual armor that God has provided each and every Christian. Truth, righteousness, peace, faith, salvation, and the Word of God. You'll find these in a familiar passage if you turn to Ephesians chapter 6. We'll go through verses 10 through 18 if you would. Ephesians chapter 6. Verses 10 through 18. This may be familiar to quite a few of us. It says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, we take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with the truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." Clothed in that armor and clothed with Christ, we can defeat the snares and the strategies of the devil. He's very particular about how he hits each and every one of us. I mean, it's a different story. We're all like their fingerprints. There's no two fingerprints alike. All our stories are different. Same as everyone outside these walls, they're different. But there's an old book, it's called The Art of War, talk about the strategies of a warrior. A warrior knows he doesn't strike the hands, he doesn't strike the feet, he doesn't strike the legs, the arms. A true warrior knows how he strikes the heart. And Satan is the epitome of that, the true warrior. He knows exactly when to hit us. He knows exactly how to hit us. He knows exactly where to hit us. And we have a tendency to give him that. We give him the ammo he needs with that free will, the little thing we call free will. We each have a choice. We each have a lot of choices to make each and every day, whether good or bad. And we have a tendency to give him that free, give him all the ammo he needs, because you can't read your mind. If you look at the story of Job, he had to ask permission. He had to go before God and ask permission to do what he did to Job. He couldn't read his mind. If he could, he realized he was out of luck. Anyhow, but that's one of the good things. He can't read our minds, but the thing is, what comes out of our mouth, what comes from our heart, the actions, the choices we make each and every day of our lives, that gives him all the ammo he needs to fire right those darts right back at us. And if we don't have that armor, I mean, if we're lacking one piece of armor, it doesn't matter what it may be. He knows exactly when, how, and where to hit us at the best possible times. Now, Peter and James add some practical insight into defeating Satan as well. Peter states that we must be sober, be vigilant, because the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Basically, I mean, keep our eyes open. I mean, be vigilant. Stay vigilant. Keep your eyes open. You're always looking for the next, around the next corner, for that next curveball, for Mr. Murphy to show up, or whatever you may, however you may want to explain that. But, just like he said, the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. That's been the case since Satan fell. He's out for blood. He's out for vengeance. But since the cross, since Christ died on the cross, he realizes he don't win. He can't win. He lost. But that's where the scary part comes into play, because there's some that know that when you go into battle or anything, when you're going to lose a fight, or when you're going to lose the battle, the goal and the objective is to take as many as you can with you. And that's Satan's objective right now. Vengeance, pure and simple. He knows he can't win. He knows he lost at the cross. And there's no way possible for him to win. It's just plain and simple. Take as many souls as he can with him. Just like the Bible talks about in Luke 15, when he talks about, I'm going to turn to Luke 15 and read 4 through 10 real quick. There's great rejoicing. if you look at chapter 15, if you're turning there, verses 4 through 10, we're going to focus on verses 7 and 10, but we're going to read 4. I'm going to read 4 through 10. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you, that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons, which need no repentance. Either what woman hath 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle, and sweep the house, and seek diligently till she find it? And when she hath found it, she called her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I have lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Just like there's joy and rejoicing going on in heaven when one sinner, when we win another one over for our team, when another one accepts Christ, and you have to understand that there's also rejoicing. Satan does his own rejoicing. When someone that passes is unsaved, lost, he won. That soul is his forever from now on in eternity. Hell rejoices just the same as heaven. Heaven rejoices when we win one for the kingdom. He rejoices because out of vengeance, he rejoices when he takes one just the same. There's no beating around that. There's no getting around that. But so thus being the case, there's an attitude we must adopt. We must always be watchful. We must always be alert to the scheme, to the schemes, the plans of Satan, so that we do not become caught up in those strategies or snares. In today's day and age and society, it's becoming more and more clear and blatant what those snares and strategies of Satan are, isn't it? I think it's becoming more and more clear as we go through the day. It doesn't matter if it's, you're talking about social media, if you're talking about TV, the news. I mean, like I said before, anything that comes out of anyone's mouth is considered true with nothing to back it up. I mean, no facts, no history, no nothing to back up. And it's sad, because the people are running with this, and it's causing a lot of damage, not only in the political scheme, but our schools, our high schools, elementary schools, colleges, and churches. It's going on and on. It's like a domino effect. It's sad. You can see it coming one right after the other. Peter's version of being clothed in spiritual armor is a simple statement found in 1 Peter 5:8 and 9. He said, resist steadfast in your faith. James says nearly the same thing. If you turn with me to James 4, chapter 4, verses 7 through 8, if you would, for a brief minute. James chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. James and Peter are pretty much on the same plane here, the same as Paul was. As you read it, we'll be looking at Paul here in a minute. But there's another question right now as comes the next logical step would be to the next question. How does Satan disguise himself? How does the enemy disguise himself? I mean, we all have the basic understanding of how he disguises himself. He's the great duplicator. He's the great, he's the great liar. He's the great author of chaos. There is no chaos in God's world, in God's realm, in the Bible. If you look throughout the pages, down through the pages of history, when chaos usually starts to show up, that means that pretty much means Satan's on its sitting there right on the threshold, causing it. But the Apostle Paul divides the world into two categories, darkness and light. I'm going to read Colossians to line up this next segment. I'm going to read Colossians chapter 1, verses 12 through 14. Colossians chapter 1, verses 12 through 14, if you'd like to turn there. It says, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who have delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us unto the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Now, if you look closely, just like Paul said, he split them up into two categories, darkness and light. In verse 13, he would delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, which is the kingdom of light. Satan, knowing this as well, wants access to Christians, children of light, as Ephesians 5:8 calls us. Satan will have to disguise himself. He will have to conceal his darkness with a facade or covering of light. How many can see that clearly in today's day and age that we're living in right now? The facade that's running around, running rampant down through the streets and through everything that we deal with. It doesn't matter if it's social media, politics, work, home, church, schooling. Just as Satan and his emissaries disguised themselves sufficiently enough to infiltrate the church at Corinth, so they also disguise themselves today, but not just in churches. His mark is evident in society at large, not just some, but all realms of society: education, medicine, academics, psychology, music, art, entertainment, and dare I even mention politics? I mean, you can see the domino effect. It's a ripple effect. When you throw that stone out in the pond, the ripples affect everybody. And it affects everybody in one form or another, one sense or another. But Satan is disguising his lies as a version of truth in order to gain access to our lives, each and every one of our lives. I don't know if it's psychology that made the statement, every lie out there has formed, every believable lie is formed by some a kernel of truth. It has to be formed by some kernel of truth for it to be believable. And that's exactly what he's good at. He's the best at. I mean, he will do that time and time again. He will take that kernel of truth, just like you see, doesn't matter if we're talking about churches, the denominations, schools, academics, music, art, anything like I said. He'll take that and run with it, take that kernel of truth, and he'll wrap his lies around it. He'll coat them lies around each and every kernel of truth he decides to start. But every Christian is to be discerning about what they embrace in this world, to make sure it is true light and not darkness and disguise. And the only way to do that is, like you said, to stay in prayer, constant communication with God each and every day of our lives, and stay in his word. I mean, his word is truth, just like he said, that put on the whole armor of God. And just like it says here, that watch what we embrace in this world, whether it be social media, whether it be whatever, however, each and every day, whatever we come in contact with each and every day of our lives out there, to make sure it is the true light and not darkness and disguise. And there's a quote that I can't remember if it was David Jeremiah, but he said, nothing gets into our hearts accidentally. There is no accidents. Like I said, it comes back to choice, and it comes back to free will, and we have the privilege to pay for that choice that we made, whether good or bad. And in my case, in some cases, it hasn't been so good. We have the tendency to be hard-headed and beat our head against that wall, the proverbial wall, down through the years of life. But like you said, nothing gets into our hearts accidentally. If you join me in prayer, if you would, please. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come before you again this evening, we thank you for each and every member here again. We thank you for their health. We thank you for the strength and wisdom and direction, the safety you've given them throughout their lives, each and every day of their lives. Like I said, we thank you for the simple blessings, the simple fact of getting out of bed in the morning, putting our feet on the floor, and making it through this day safely to come here this evening. And throughout each and every day of our lives, whether it be at home, work, school, wherever we may be, we pray for each and every one outside our extended families outside these walls, because we have to deal with this enemy each and every day of our lives. We have to learn how to defeat him. We have to understand the enemy, to know the enemy. Knowledge is power, and it gives us power. It gives us strength that we know, we understand where he's coming from, and we can see the disguises and the lies each and every day that we deal with. But we pray you give us the strength and your guidance and direction, strength of mind, will, heart, body, and soul to get through these situations, and possibly win others for Christ that don't know you, because when they die without you, that's a victory for Satan. As again, like I said, Satan, they do rejoice in hell, the same as they do rejoice in heaven when another one comes to salvation. We pray that we'd be able to bring the gospel to each and every one, whether wherever we may be, outside these walls, and with an understanding to plant the seed, and for someone else to water, if may be, to grow, possibly grow into salvation, understanding for you. Thank you again for each and every member that came out. We pray for their families as well that aren't here this evening, can't be with us. Pray for Pastor and his wife. Again, grant them safety, traveling mercies, good time of fellowship, and strength and guidance and wisdom where they're at. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.